Guys, ready for the word?
Yeah.
All right, so we have spent the last number of weeks looking at Psalm 23. And you guys ready to end Psalm 23?
Nope.
I was telling Tony and Laura, we were with them last week, and I said, yeah, well, this is 6 weeks of Psalm 23. There's only six verses. It's really hard to justify going beyond that. But we probably could. I'm going to wrap it up today. So we've spent these last number of weeks looking at Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 really is a psalm that is a psalm of praise. It's a psalm of joy. It's one of those places in the Word of God that is known by so many people. It's well known and it's beloved by so many. It is a psalm that truly is a psalm about relationship with the Lord. He is the shepherd. He's the shepherd, and he provides for, and he cares for his sheep, and he protects his sheep. And he has a plan to deliver them to a destination, and that destination is dwelling with him. Dwelling is a powerful destination. It means being with him all of the days of our lives, but it also means the promise of eternity with him. Now, we understand the comfort that comes thinking about an eternity with him. But we're still learning day by day. We're still learning to dwell with him and to be in his presence and enjoy the excitement of that education, of learning to dwell with him. It's the destination that he has for us. We saw that verse number 6 is that destination of dwelling in him. And we saw that the starting point was in verse number 1, which is allowing Jesus, the good shepherd, to take us by the hand and lead us into each day that he has for us. And then all the other verses in between, 2 through 5, it's the path that he leads us on to get us to that final destination, dwelling with him daily and dwelling with him for eternity. So let's read it again together. Anybody got it memorized? I'm not going to make you do it, but anybody got it memorized? Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, Donna can do it then. You want to do it? Oh, okay. All right, so Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So last week we were seeing in verse number 5, we learned about the table that he has set for us, the table he's prepared for us in the wilderness, in those valley days in our lives. And we made the connection last week between that table that he prepares for us in the valley days and the table of showbread that was in the tabernacle, which was in the wilderness. And we saw that that showbread, remember, the showbread is the constant reminder to God's people of his everlasting promises, his covenant promises for them. And then we looked at the tabernacle itself, and we saw just how close the table of showbread was to the actual presence of God, which was behind that veil in the Holy of Holies. And you and I, we have already eaten of the bread of life because we've accepted Jesus Christ. We've eaten of the bread of life. We're going to partake in that this morning because we do it in remembrance of him. You've partaken in the bread of life. So we get to look beyond the veil, behind the veil, and we get the opportunity to enter in to his presence daily, intimately, and personally. We also looked last week, and we ended last week identifying that David wrote this psalm about God being a shepherd because David himself was a shepherd. David was the shepherd, and he wrote that psalm, and it encourages us even to this day. It is such a beautiful picture for us even today, and we can know that as we go through all of those valley days, as we go through all of the days of struggle and hardship, if we will allow the good shepherd to take us by the hand, he will lead us through the valley to the other side, where all of the blessings, all of the favors, all of the victories are when we go through the valley to the other side. And as we grow in those valley day experiences, we don't necessarily like being in the valley, but we grow in the valley. And as we grow in those valley day experiences, it refines us, it strengthens us, and it prepares us so that we can then grow others as well. And then we can lead others. We can introduce them. We can lead them to an intimate relationship with the Good Shepherd, who will then in turn lead them as overcomers into every day that he has prepared for them. So we did all of that just last week. I want to pick it up from there, and I want you to think about this. After God had spoken to David, and he told David, God spoke to David. Remember, he told David that he was going to take him from the sheepfold and then bring him, or he brought him from the sheepfold and made him a king of God's own people. We saw that last week. Let's look at that again. That's 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse number 9. Did I say that wrong? Oh. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in their own place and be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the first. So God had spoken to David, and he told David that I'm going to take you from the sheepfold. And he did. He took him from the sheepfold, and he made him the king over all of Israel. And that sounds very similar to what we read in Psalm 23, verse number 5. It sounds very similar to God preparing a table for David in the presence of his enemies. Then we read this verse. This verse applies to us today. Look at it again. I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in their own place and be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the first. This applies to today, because while God was blessing David, he was also blessing the people of God. He was blessing his own people. When you and I allow the Good Shepherd to take us by the hand and to lead us daily into the blessings he has for us, the rest of the body of Christ is watching. They see that, they observe it, and they are then being taught to yield their lives daily to the Good Shepherd as well. As we live our lives and let Jesus lead us as a good shepherd into the day, we teach the rest of the body of Christ to do the same thing. And then here's what happens. Then the entire body of Christ enters into a time when the wickedness of this culture will no longer waste away or will no longer erode the faith of the body of Christ. Then we go from being those who are influenced to becoming the influencers. We become the ones who influence the culture instead of being influenced by the culture itself. It's backwards right now. But as we allow the Good Shepherd to take us by the hand and lead us, and the world sees you walking into his victories and blessings, even in the valley days, they will take note and they will be taught to do the same thing. Listen, we're already seeing the fruit of this begin to take place. I mean, already the seeds are starting to come to harvest. Just across the border in Ohio right now, there's revival taking place at Asbury, is it University? In seminary in Kentucky. So the fruit of this is already starting to take place. But it all starts by following the example that David gave us and humbly being seated before the Lord. It all starts with this. Again, still in 1 Chronicles. And sometime just read through 1 Chronicles, especially 16, 17, and 18, and just compare what you read there with what we know from Psalm 23. There's just so much that it feeds, builds on each other. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse number 16. Then King David went in, and he sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far? There is humility with David as David comes to sit before the Lord. David came, and it says that David went in. David went in and sat before the Lord. Now you have to picture this, because this is telling us that David went in. He couldn't go into the holy place because only the priests could go there. So when it says that David went in and sat before the Lord, what does that mean? It means that he went into the tabernacle area, but he went into the courtyard of the tabernacle because that's as far as he was allowed to go. But this is the picture for you and I. David went in and he sat where he was allowed to sit so that he could be close to the presence of God. You and I, we have a better covenant with Jesus than David ever had, or that David could even think about or imagine. We have permission. We actually have an invitation to enter in to his presence. You get the opportunity to go before the Creator of all things in ways that David couldn't even imagine. You get to go before the Creator of all things in ways that you and I probably haven't imagined. But it all starts with being seated with him. He's given us the invitation. He's invited you to learn how to enter in to his presence. And this is what we need to do. And this is why I say this is a joyful education. When I was going through school, I dreaded every single day of school. Man, I did not enjoy school at all. However, once I got out of school and nobody was telling me I had to learn things, then all of a sudden I loved learning things. I'm taking courses all the time. I'm always interested in learning more and taking in as much as I possibly can. I didn't like the education process. And so sometimes we think of education as being something that is heavy and no fun. I've learned education is fun. Well, think about this. He has given you an invitation. He's given you an invitation to learn how to enter into his presence in ways that I promise you none of us have thought of. And it's going to be personal. It's going to be different than others. It's going to be intimate. But this is why each one of us needs to take the time to learn. Let him teach us how to enter into, to be educated. Let him teach us how to enter into his presence. Amen. So David is giving us a picture. This is a picture. David seated before the Lord. David sat before the Lord, and it is a picture of you and I today who are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6. We've looked at this verse a lot over the years. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Be seated. This is one of the things that David is teaching us. Be seated in the presence of the Lord, and learn what his intentions and his plans are for you. Learn what his heart and his intentions are for you today and for every day for the rest of our lives. We're seated with him. So 1 Chronicles chapter 17, we get a picture of David seated before the Lord. And it's there while David was seated before the Lord, that's where David learned about the house that God would build through David's son, Solomon. And it's there as David was seated before the Lord, that's where David learned that Messiah's eternal kingdom would come through David's own household when David was seated there before the Lord. It's the education that takes place. This is a key for you and I. Watch this. David was seated before the Lord and he learned those things. And you can read all this. Read this in 1 Chronicles 17 and then go into 18. Because here's the next thing we see. After David was seated with the Lord, he got up and he went out and he subdued his enemies. This is what we read. Read through it in chapter 18. 1 Chronicles chapter 18. I'll just give you this one verse. 1 Chronicles 18, verse number 8. Likewise, from Tibhath and from Kun, cities of Hadadezer, David brought very much bronze, with which Solomon later made the bronze laver and the pillars and the vessels of bronze. You see what's taking place here? All of these things are being used. David got up. He sat with the Lord. He listened to what God had to say. He heard the promises. Then he got up. He went out and he subdued his enemies. And all of these things are things that he brought in. Listen, we already saw earlier, one of the things that God said, after God had told David about taking him from the sheepfold and then bringing him into being the king, right after that, that is when God said to David, and this is what he said, you can see this. God said to David, I have already overcome all of your enemies. He specifically said, I have already cut down all of your enemies. So David then sat before the Lord. He got up and he subdued his enemies and all these things took place. God had already, before David got up to subdue his enemies, God had already cut off all of David's enemies. But David still had to go out and enforce their defeat. God had cut them off, but David still had to go out and enforce their defeat. And then David accumulated all of the spoils of all of the victories against all of these enemies. All of these spoils, read about it, all these spoils that came into him. And then all of his defeated enemies then paid David tribute for years to come. All of those spoils from the enemies and all of those tributes then were later used to build the house of God. See all that in your mind? Jesus has already defeated Satan. But it's up to you and I to enter into the battlefield and to enforce his defeat. And we accumulate all of the spoils of victory through Jesus. But then here's the thing. Every single victory that we get, every single victory that is won through Jesus, every victory that we have in those valley days, it serves to strengthen us, every single victory. It strengthens us and it builds us up to become his spiritual house today. In the same way that all those spoils were used by David to build up the house of God, every single victory, when you're going through the valley days and you feel, can I go on? Why is this happening? And you struggle. Remember, the good shepherd is there. He takes you by the hand. He provides for you and he protects you. And he will lead you through to the other side if you let him take you by the hand. And as you do that, you're going to face some battles in there, but that's good. It gives you a chance to enforce Satan's defeat over you and over your life. And then all of those things then are used to build you up to be the spiritual house of God today. And it all begins, as we see from David, by being seated before the Lord. Now, look at what Jesus himself said to his disciples about this very thing. This is in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verses 28 through 30. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I bestow upon you a kingdom. The kingdom of God is already within you because of the work that Jesus completed. I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on my thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now there's a whole lot there, and we'll look at that at some point and go through all that. But all that is speaking about you today as well, because you are his disciples today. And I can show you in Revelation when it talks about ruling, you know, the 24 rulers who are on the throne. I can show you how that is talking about you and I today. These are promises. He has bestowed his kingdom upon you, and he wants you and I to sit at the table and eat with him, to eat from the Lord's table. These are the things that Jesus himself has said. So sit at the Lord's table, eat at the Lord's table daily. And take Jesus in. Take him in fully. Now let's go back to Psalm 23, verse number 5. I'm going to read that verse to you again. I know we spent a lot of time on this. It's a good verse. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. So the next thing that we see David say is, you anoint. God, you anoint my head with oil. Do you remember the Bedouin rules of hospitality in the desert that we talked about last Sunday? So one of those rules of hospitality, one of those rules says that you are to offer to honored guests. An honored guest comes into your tent, you are to offer them oil for their head. And that oil served to refresh, and it served to also soothe the individual. God is letting you know, it doesn't matter what valley day you might be in. It doesn't matter what you're experiencing. He will always, in the valley, Jesus Christ will always refresh you. He will always soothe you, and he will always sustain you. But there's also, when David said, "You anoint my head," that's the physical truth. That's the physical aspects. But there's also a spiritual meaning to this as well. Because when someone's head was anointed, anointing somebody's head was a symbol that God had chosen them. It was a symbol of God's presence being with them. It meant that God had set them aside for his own holy purposes. Jesus has anointed you. He has chosen you. And his presence is in you. And you are set aside for his special purposes. He has special purposes for each one of us. But it gets even better for you. Better for you because in the new covenant in Jesus, there's more for you. Listen to this from 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. And that the anointing which ye received of him dwell in you. Picture this. The anointing that you've received dwells in you. And ye have not need that any may teach you, but as his anointing teacheth you of all things. And it is true, and it is not lying. And as he taught you, dwell ye in him. Let me read that last part again. And as he taught you, dwell ye in him. Because Jesus has anointed you, he is teaching you how to dwell within him. Because he's anointed you, he's teaching you how to dwell with him. The whole destination of Psalm 23, the whole destination is dwelling with him, being with him, learning to do that all the days of this life, knowing that we have it for eternity. But because he's anointed you, he is already teaching you how to dwell with him. Amen. So, are you ready? I mean, are you open to be taught? Are you open to be taught and learn how to dwell with him in the fullness of whatever that means, in the fullness of what he intends for you? It's the thing that Jeremy was speaking about today. It's the very thing where in heaven, oh, I've heard so much about you because you are special to him. He's already teaching you these things. So, Psalm 23, it starts off by letting us know, it begins by letting us know that if we allow Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to take us by the hand, he will lead us into the day. And we know that Psalm 23 ends with the destination of dwelling with him. But it is the anointing that is in verse number 5, the anointing that David talks about. It's the anointing that brings all of this together. And to really understand that, it's helpful for us to go back and look at the account in the Bible about Jacob when Jacob was in Bethel. Remember, when Jacob was first going through Bethel, he was on the run. He was running from his brother Esau. Jacob was definitely, he was decidedly in a valley day in his life. This is what it says in Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 and 11. And Jacob went out from Beersheba, and he went towards Haran. So he came to a certain place, and he stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place, and he put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Now, the next thing we know that happened is Jacob then had that dream. He had the dream where he saw the ladder set from earth to heaven, and he saw the angels ascending and descending. And God spoke to Jacob in that dream, and he promised Jacob that I will be with you always wherever you go. I will never leave you, and I will complete my promises to you, Jacob. sounds very much like the promises he makes to us when we read Psalm 23. These are the promises that he made to Jacob. Then we read this. Genesis chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. Then Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put at his head, set it as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, which means house of God. But the name of that city had been previously Luz. This is a picture. That is a picture of you and I. That's a picture of what Jesus himself has done for you and I. Because the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. All of this that we just read with Jacob, this is a picture of what Jesus would do and has done for us. He gave his life for the sheep. Do you remember in the Gospels? Do you remember when Lazarus, who was Jesus' friend, Lazarus died, and when Jesus was speaking to his disciples about the death of Lazarus, he referred to death as sleep. Jesus gave his life for the sheep. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus gave his life for the sheep, they laid his body in a tomb that was hewn from rock or stone. So Jesus literally laid his head on stone for those 3 days that he died, those 3 days that he slept. Just as Jacob laid his head on a stone, so did Jesus. Jacob laid his head and slept on a stone, and Jesus laid his head and slept on a stone. And then think about what happened next with Jesus. Jesus then descended and ascended just as the angels did in Jacob's dream, but with eternal consequences from what Jesus did. Jesus actually went through the valley of the shadow of death before us. He went through the valley of the shadow of death, and he broke the bondage. He broke the yoke of bondage. He broke that yoke of bondage so that you and I now are free, and we are anointed to walk into all of his promises for us. Isaiah chapter 10, verse number 27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. All of this just ties into the anointing that we see. This is why I've spent so much time on verse number 5, because it really brings a culmination of all the things from the starting place to that whole path that he's leading us to, and it all comes to this culmination in verse number 5 to bring us to that destination of dwelling with him. Now, when Jacob arose the next morning, what did we read that he did? He woke up from his sleep, and it says he anointed the stone that he had laid his head upon. And that stone later became for Jacob and for those who came after him, a memorial stone. It became a token of the promises of God for Jacob and for the people. Well, when Jesus arose, there was an anointing of stone that took place as well. Because Jesus has anointed the living stones of you and I. He's anointed the living stones of you and I, whom he is building into his spiritual house today. You guys know I love 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, but I want you to see it in the Amplified Bible. Come, and like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood, to offer up those spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. When you walk in the anointing of Jesus Christ, you are walking in the exact same anointing that David had when he was there in the valley. You're walking in the anointing of being refreshed and being soothed. But because of the new covenant in Jesus' blood, you are also anointed in the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can enter into the presence of God himself. You walk in this anointing, and we can learn, be open for his teaching as he leads us into the destination that he has for you to dwell with him forever, yes, but today as well, and in personal ways. It's about dwelling in his presence. And here's the thing. When we learn, as we learn to dwell in His presence, we experience the joy and the comfort that led David to conclude verse 5 by saying, "My cup runs over." David ended it all by saying, "My cup runs over." David understood. David knew and understood the abundance of overpouring goodness of God. He understood that. He knew that. In fact, in another psalm that's appropriate and for us today, that applies today, another psalm that David wrote, David speaks about this overflowing abundance of God. This is Psalm 65, verses 11 through 13. "You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are also covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing." The whole reason that I really feel that the Holy Spirit led me to spend some time here at the beginning of this year in Psalm 23 is because it is such a beautiful psalm about it doesn't matter what you go through. It doesn't matter what those seasons are in the valley. He anoints you. He protects you. He provides for you. He cares for you. He will see you through to the other side and all of those victories. But no matter what comes, no matter what this year brings, it doesn't make any difference. Let the good shepherd lead you into all of His goodness. David understood the overflowing goodness of God. Let Him lead you into all of His goodness, and your cup will overflow. Let Him lead you into the goodness, and your cup overflows. And then people see the path of your steps, because your steps literally drip with His abundance. Literally drip with His abundance, so that we see the pastures, the hills, verse number 2, Psalm 23, the valleys, all of these things that we've talked about in Psalm 23, the pastures, the hills, the valleys, all of these things are covered in His abundance. All of these things drip with His abundance as we allow the good shepherd to take us by the hand and lead us into the day and lead us into the blessings, to lead us through the valley, to lead us in the things that He has planned for you because of His love for you and the good things that He has for you. Amen. Psalm 23 is our assurance that no matter what you go through, it's our assurance that as we go through the valley days, as we go through days of struggle in our lives, as we go through just those hard times in life, Psalm 23 is our assurance that He protects us, He provides for us, and He leads us through the valley into all the blessings that are on the other side. But here's the other part of the blessing. He has prepared a table for you in those valley days, even when you're in the middle of it. He's prepared a table for you right there in the middle of that. So sit down. This is what David showed us. Be seated with the Lord, even in the valley. Sit down. Be seated with the Lord in the presence of your enemies. Be seated with Him and eat at the Lord's table. Eat all of the goodness. Eat all of the things that He has for you. Eat all of those things, and remember this. He has anointed you so He can teach you how to enter into His presence until your cup is overflowing with all the things that He has for us. So we as a body, we are encouraged and strengthened. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what the world shows. You and I, we are strengthened and in the valleys. And in those valleys, we will know, hey, take great pleasure in stopping in the valley and just sit down at the table that He's prepared for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank You for the things that You show us, and there's so much more that You have for us, even in this. And I thank You that as each one of us takes the time to read through this on our own, You're going to show us even more things, but You're going to show us these things as they personally apply to our lives. So we just rejoice, and we thank You. We know that as we walk with you, the end is going to be what we just saw David talking about, where our pathway, the steps of our path just drip, our steps drip with your abundance. And so wherever we walk, that abundance follows in the pastures, in the hills, and in the valleys. And the world sees it, and they are drawn towards you. We thank you and praise you for all these things. In your name, Jesus, amen. Amen. You know, Dan had showed me from a Bible that it's the one-man Bible. Is that what it's called? One-man Bible. So he was just showing me beforehand. He didn't know we were even talking about all this, but he was just showing me there's, what's the verse? It's when Jesus is saying in John, it's when Jesus is saying, listen, you must eat the flesh of Jesus. You must eat the flesh and drink the blood. But in this Bible, it breaks down, it goes back to the Hebrew and it breaks it down. And what Dan was showing me, when it talks about eating the bread and drinking the blood, what it means is taking the word like in little bites that you can eat and consume. It's taking the word in individually, piece by piece, and letting it speak to you so that we learn and grow. So